Blog Talk Radio.
You presume I'm weak, you presume I'm frail, but your perceptions won't prevail. I'm made more than what you see. Hi, this is Kimberly Locke, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Stardish Radio. Today is February 19th, 2009. I'm your host, Joanne, and I want to thank you all for coming. For those of you who are guests in the chat room, make sure you go register with Blog Talk so you can participate in the chat. That's like the best part of the show to chat it up with the other listeners. And also, my number here is 347-945-5423. Don't be shy. Call in. Love the participation. Okay. Let's see here, guys. For sure, he is not the typical Hollywood matinee idol type, but that certainly hasn't stopped him from carving out a very impressive career. He knocked around the industry for almost a decade doing periodic guest shots in such television shows as Melrose Place, Baywatch, Murphy Brown, and Diagnosis Murder, before finding his breakthrough role as an invaluable piece of the Cracker Jack ensemble of the WB's landmark series, Felicity, where his initially small part as charmingly bumbling would-be entrepreneur Sean Blumberg quickly became a fan favorite and put him on the road toward worldwide fame. A five-year stint on ABC's instant classic Alias quickly followed, and in 2006, his career skyrocketed in the stratosphere when he joined the cast of a strange new series called Heroes, which was soon to become that season's breakout smash. 3 years later, he and the show are still going strong, and he is stopping by Stardish tonight to discuss that, as well as some other of his passions, which include Yowza and epilepsy. So we want to welcome a warm Stardish welcome to Mr. Greg Grunberg.
Hey, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mr. Greg.
Well,
How are you?
First of all, you need to get out to Hollywood, and you are a great writer. What a great introduction.
No. Okay, sweetheart, let me correct you. I'm just a host. I have a writer.
Okay. Well, I
couldn't write my way out of a paper bag, but I got a guy for you that can do it.
Oh, man, that's like literally one of the best introductions I've ever heard, and I was like, wait a minute, that's me. Hold on.
That is you. But you know what? I could never put it in words, but that comes from one of my very dear friends, Brandon. He does my intros for the show, and he is a huge fan of yours from Felicity.
Thank him for me for that.
He's in the chat room, and he's listening, so definitely I'm going to have some questions for you from him later. But welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm so excited. We had band rehearsal last night, and Bob Guinea was like, you are going to love her. She's the greatest. I love her. She's the best. So, you know, usually we just don't even talk. It's like they don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know what they're doing. You know, other friends that are doing interviews. But this was like one that I was set up to enjoy. So I'm really happy.
Thank you for having
me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Bob is like the best. I mean, honestly, I've met him once in my life, but he is like my favorite. So I'm glad he praised me. That makes me feel good.
he is one of those guys that you meet and you say, you know, you can't remember not having him as a friend. He's just the sweetest guy, got the biggest heart in the world. And, you know, it's one of those people that I feel lucky that I bounced in, you know, that I've run into him and that we're doing good things together.
Well, I want to know so much about you. Let's start with how did you? I mean, you have some friends in high places. Your best friend is J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in acting? I mean, obviously it wasn't through him because you were in kindergarten together. Tell me about how you got started.
Well, actually, it was through him. I was always, well, no, I mean, I was always interested in acting, and I was in, like, my first role ever was as Tom Sawyer in the school play in elementary school, you know, when I grew up in Los Angeles, and so I always had it in my blood that I wanted to do it. Just, it was always in my heart. I loved performing. I loved getting any kind of a reaction out of people. I was kind of a class clown, but I wasn't obnoxious. I wasn't, you know, sent to the principal's office or whatever. I knew my limits, but I always enjoyed making people laugh and having fun. And just growing up, JJ and I were incredibly creative together, and you can't help it. But when you're with a guy like that, my dad used to call him a Renaissance man when he was 9.
Wow.
He would pick up a pencil. Honestly, he'd pick up a pencil and just draw. You know, just no formal training or anything. He could just sketch. He could do caricatures. He had a really good eye. He could sit down at the piano and just start playing by ear. And then he also, you know, was just incredibly creative with. He would get clay, and he was a big fan of the special effects, and all the prop masters would. You know, he would write letters at that age, at like 10 and 11 and 12. His dad was a very successful movie producer. So we would go to the set, and it was just, you know, he grew up in it, but he would make his own little movies, and we have them, where one is called The Attic, for example. And I think I'm 11, and it's like a 4-minute little movie where, you know, I invite a friend over, and the friend is like, hey, what do you want to do? I don't know, I'm bored. And the friend looks up and says, what is that? And I go, I don't know. And it's a hatch. It's like a, you know, thing. We open it up. We go upstairs. He's like, dude, you have an attic. And I go, I didn't know we had an attic. And then all of a sudden we unleash this monster in the house that ends up killing everyone. And that's the movie. You know, it was kind of foreshadowing what he would then go on to do. And so it was just part of my creative outlet growing up was acting. My dad is like the most entrepreneurial guy in the world. He was in the schmata business, the clothing business for 30 years, and then he had a solar energy business, and then he's that'll lead into Yowza, which we'll talk about later, but I have that same spirit, that entrepreneurial spirit. And I've always, when I come up with an idea, I try and follow through as best I can. I have crazy business ideas I've acted on. I've done, you know, as an actor, you try and do anything you can to survive, you know, outside of getting a job as a waiter, you know. but anyway, so throughout school, I was acting, and then I went to San Diego State University and studied business because that's, you know, what my dad had done. And I opened up a frozen yogurt store, of all things, after college.
Wow.
And that was just, you know, really tough retail. It was fun. After that, I got a job working at Dina De Laurentiis' company, and I was living with JJ. We were sharing an apartment at the time, and he sells a script for $4 million, you know. And so I can't even pay for dinner tonight. And you know,
I'm making yogurt, and you got $4 million.
That's exactly right.
What the hell's up with that?
Yeah. And by the way, at that time, I wasn't even making yogurt. Like, the store had closed. I was just delivering yogurt. I started a frozen yogurt delivery company, which, by the way, would be huge today if somebody did it. We used to sell, get this, frozen yogurt. Because at the end of the day in a frozen yogurt store, you clean out the machine and you put it in. You can either throw the yogurt, old yogurt away or whatever. But yeah, so I would put it into cups and freeze it. And then the next day, I would send a friend out, an actor, a friend, and he would go around to the hair salons and sell non-fat frozen yogurt like they do sandwiches. And that developed into this business where I had 10 and 15 people going out every day to offices and studio lots and lawyers' offices and hair salons. And we were selling out. We were doing so well. And then the acting, you know, I started working as an actor, and I couldn't do it anymore. I closed the business down. But you know, I was literally delivering frozen yogurt door to door, and JJ was, you know, conquering Hollywood. So we've always promised each other we wanted to work together. He is like a brother to me, and I'm extremely lucky to have him, you know, to call him my best friend. He's godfather to my kids, and he's kept that promise. You know, he put me in Felicity after I begged and pleaded and basically wouldn't let him do the show without me. And then after that, I built up enough steam that the networks wanted to put me into things, and he wanted to put me into Alias, and then we just continued. And sort of Heroes is me kind of leaving the nest, you know, for the first time.
Well, it's, you know what, that's such a great story as far as like Hollywood goes, because you sometimes hear stories, oh, you know, so-and-so and I grew up together and he went his way and I went my way, even though, you know, we've always said we would do this together. The fact that you actually did it really, really says something about you guys, your personalities, and your friendship.
You know what's a tough thing is when you hire friends or family, you have to hire, whoever you hire, you have to be willing to fire. That's it. I mean, you have to think about that when you're first getting into, you know, into business with somebody or and so for him to take that leap and say, I want to hire my friends. I mean, it's not just me. It's other friends that are extremely talented people. But, again, it's getting into business with somebody. It's a tough thing. And he is just – he's incredible at putting together – we have a really close-knit kind of stable of actors that we all love to use. And he taught me that, you know, it's better to work with people that you love than to reinvent the wheel every time, trying to come up with – I mean, his crews are he's loyal to. He uses them over and over again, and he's that way.
That's wonderful. That's just a great, great story there. I have to tell you, Blog Talk Radio, when you go on to the main page, it gives you a list of, you know, what's featured for today, whether it be, you know, from 6 o'clock this morning till, you know, the last show, midnight. You were the top pick.
Oh, awesome.
You were the top pick, and when I sent in my request to have you as a top pick, I kind of emphasized a little bit more on your epilepsy and your Yowza interest than I did Heroes, because to me, everybody knows Heroes, and I would rather, you know, learn a little bit more about the other side of you. So
yeah.
I was really happy to say that that's what they actually put on there. They put, the title is Our Hero. And then it goes on to say about your passions with epilepsy and Yowza. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you. I love it. I mean, that's – I was talking to we're hiring a publicist for Yowza and the epilepsy stuff that I'm doing. And I had a meeting with her today, and I said exactly that. I said, look, Heroes is going to get me on these shows, but what I really want to talk about are these projects that I'm doing and things that I'm passionate about. Not that Heroes isn't important, but like you said, you know, there are 12 of us out there talking about Heroes. So it's,
Heroes is there. You know, everybody knows Heroes. And, of course, you know, you're going to have fans that want to know certain things. Okay, that's fine. And that's what my job is. You know, I connect fans with their favorites. So if somebody has a question about Heroes or Felicity or Alias or whatever, they're going to have it. But in my position where I'm sitting from, I want to know the other side of you. I want to know about Yowza. I want to know about your involvement with epilepsy and any other projects that you have, the band from TV, of course, and any other projects that you have, you know. So before we do I don't slow down. Everybody's like in the chat room, do you ever slow down? No, I don't.
Neither do I, so we're perfect.
Oh, God. So before I do the Yowza and the epilepsy, let me get a couple questions in for you real quick. These are from Brandon, the gentleman that wrote your intro, who's a big Felicity fan, and he wants to know, one, did you enjoy being a part of the ensemble?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, answer that one, and then he has two more. Go ahead.
I mean, absolutely. That was... let me just tell Brandon, my first day on the set, I will never forget. When they're establishing a show, you have no idea the tone of the show. It's only in the writer's head. And even though JJ is my best friend, you know, I'll read a script, and I'll be like, okay, the pace of this is going to be bing, 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 or it's going to be, you know, Bigger Than Life or whatever. And that show was all about being as real as possible. You're almost in the head of the people. You know, every scene started off with two characters looking at each other and going, can I talk to you for a second? Okay. And then they'd go over and they'd have a conversation. And it was like, it was just one of the, it's so well written. It was all about that. So my first scene was I'm walking down the stairs and my idea book has been stolen. And I walk down the stairs and I'm like, what's going on? This is rehearsal. Like, I can't believe my idea book was stolen. JJ goes, cut, cut, cut. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold rehearsal. And he comes up to me and he goes, that was terrible. and he pulls me off to the side and he goes, absolute reality. Bring it way, way down. And then from that moment on, it was like I was learning as I went. Every episode, I felt like I was getting better and better, and I was learning from this incredible ensemble they put together, some of which these actors had never really done much before, but Carrie, just like Jennifer, who I just saw today, actually, Garner, on Alias, you know, the top stuff, the cream actually trickles down from the top, and she was the cream of the crop. So was Carrie, and it was just a pleasure to work with those actors, both of those shows. I mean, I consider those people family now, and it's always hard, but I'm sorry for such a long answer, Brandon, but I loved working on that show.
Okay. Well, I'm going to recommend, and I'm going to talk to Barb when we get off the air, but when you want to talk about all the work that you've done with all the people that you've done. Brandon has a show just like similar to mine, but his is more of the, from the writing aspect. So he's a good guy to talk to about stuff like that. Okay. His second question is, when did you first get a sense that your character was becoming popular?
On which show?
Felicity? On Felicity. Yeah, these are all pertaining to Felicity.
Okay. When the scripts suddenly turned my way. When they run out of stories for when it's, you know, Ben or Noel. Who cares? What about Sean? How about Ben, Noel, or Sean? You know, they have to expand out. They can only do that for so long. And when they give the seventh banana, which is what I was on that show, which I was very happy to be, when they gave us some of the other stories, it was – that's when I realized, okay, my popularity, I think, is you know, it's starting to shift, and they're trusting me with more stories. I mean, I had testicular cancer on the show, which was unbelievable to play. I got bar mitzvahed on the show at a very, you know, at an adult age, which was great. I had my wife, she was my wife, but my girlfriend was a witch, and I was Jewish, and it was just great. I mean, it really, you know, and what ends up happening on a show like that is the peripheral characters become some of your favorites because they pepper the show with you. You don't, you're not the meal, and so you come in and out. It's like Marshall was on Alias. You love that character because, and hopefully Weiss too. It's like you just, you know, just enough. Like you needed that relief, and it comes at the right time. And man, is it satisfying! And you always want more. So those are characters you're always fond of.
Mm. Okay. Last question from Brandon: are you still in touch with Amanda Foreman or Scott Speedman or any of those guys?
All of them, actually. We all have remained friends, and Robert Patrick Benedict, he is also a very good friend. I just talked to Mandy 2 days ago. Hadn't talked to her in a long time, and I miss her. We cross paths. We have lunch together occasionally, and what's neat is, like, you know, Mandy and I'll have lunch, and then someone will come up and go, oh my God, it's just like when, you know, because they've been watching us from across the restaurant. It's very funny.
Well, good. All right. So those are Brandon's. We're just going to do a couple more questions, and we're going to talk about Yowza. I found out a little bit of trivia about you from a little birdie, and I'm going to ask you, do you know when and where ranch dressing was invented?
I have no idea. I think it was invented in heaven. I think.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? I have no idea. Ranch dressing, I have no idea. It's probably, and look, I was the originator of any kind of sauce. On Felicity, I created a thing called Smoothies. By the way, this is something people should know, is that character, you know, I came up with that character with JJ and Matt Reeves, who are dear friends, obviously, and I was too old to play college. So I said, you know, what if he's a guy who lives off campus and they live with him? And we all kind of brainstormed and came up with it. But JJ based all of those stories on my crazy inventions. We lived together. I would constantly knock on his door and go, okay, what about this or that or this? Or what if I sell fruit door to door? What if I can do, you know, crazy businesses? And he was like, I'm using them all. I'm telling you right now. So it was a fun way for us to, you know, dramatized like this joke that we've always had where he's like, God, enough of these crazy ideas, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, my birdie told me that you have a fetish with ranch dressing, so I figured that would be a little fun fact for you.
That is a fun fact. So where was it invented?
The ranch dressing was invented in the late 1950s by a former plumber named Steve Henson, who owned the Hidden Valley Guest Ranch in California.
Wow. See?
Plumber Steve.
A former plumber named Steve, who puts too much cream into some sort of herb dressing, and now the guy is, like, you know, rolling in ranch dressing, okay?
Yes.
I say that, you know, the inventors of the world are king. They're my heroes. I love that.
There you go. So that's your little fun fact for ranch dressing.
Thank you.
So, okay, let's go over here. Hi, you're on the phone with Greg. What's your name?
I'm Werner.
Hello?
Hi, I'm Werner.
Hi, Werner. Do you have a question for Greg?
Yeah, well, just a quick one. Well, actually, a two-parter. First of all, just very brief about Heroes, because everybody talks about how the ratings have been going down this past season in particular, and it's not as popular as it first was when it started out. Are you worried that the show might disappear at the end of the season and not get renewed? And the second question is, you talked about the crazy business ideas that you have and that you just pull out a hat and you just run with that with them. What is your advice for people in general, especially those that don't have name recognition like you do through your work on TV and everything, that they can get these shows, these ideas recognized somewhere, maybe get funding or get them off the ground, that sort of thing?
Thank you for those questions. I think the show is better than ever right now. We have Brian Fuller back, who's a writer. He created Pushing Daisies, and he was on our show at the beginning when the show was really about these ordinary people that have to deal with this and deal with a regular life. And so we're sort of getting back to that, but still not losing the great superhero stuff that we have and the good versus evil. And the ratings are actually, you know, pretty good right now. It's a really strange time in TV. As far as worried if we'd ever be off the air, there's absolutely no way that Heroes is going anywhere. The show is a international smash hit. Like I was in Europe. We did this world tour. It's insane. Like the appetite for this show all over the world is such that the ratings, to be honest with you, don't really matter. They're making so much money on iTunes. And by the way, the ratings on our show, they had this new system where the ratings come out and then our ratings go up almost 40% the next day the following, I guess what it was, a week, due to Hulu and iTunes and NBC.com and all the other way, ancillary ways. So, you know, that's a really good thing. I have friends that are just jumping on shows, and we're just so lucky that we have another market, because that's what they, you know, it's a numbers game. It's a business.
Well, I can tell you, I never really believed in those rumors that the show wasn't doing as well as before, because I've liked it from day one. And I'm calling from Canada, and we love it up here.
Oh, thank you so much. Canada. I love Canada for giving me my Yowza partner, Rick Yeager. He's the greatest.
Well, there you go.
Greatest. So if you run into him at the meetings, I'm sure all you guys get together up there.
Yeah, there's just about five of us or so.
Right, exactly. Shoveling snow.
Well, that would be six, but you know, Bill Shatner now resides in States down there, so he doesn't count anymore.
That's right. And then as far as the ideas go, the biggest lesson that I can give, it's tough because I am in this position and I'm taking advantage of it. And the other ideas that I've had when I wasn't a recognizable face, I mean, I get asked all the time to sponsor a product or show up at a mall or show up here. And the work I do celebrity-wise, I do for epilepsy, and I do for charity stuff with the band. And, you know, that's been my passion. And I could have directed that energy. I guess I could have taken advantage of other opportunities, but they're small opportunities, to be honest with you, in the big picture. You know, I'm not Brad Pitt. I'm not, you know, George Clooney. So there's a limited amount. But if you have an idea, the thing to realize, and it's something that I've realized, is the work begins after you get it all together. Like, you know, for example, Yowza. I mean, if I could just take that as an example. Or a prototype. Like, I've made a product. I have a couple products. And I'd make the prototype, show it to friends. Oh, my God, it's a great idea, and everything's great. And then now it's a business. I mean, now you really have to do it. And you have a day job. You got to pay the rent. And you need, you know, there's no right way to do it. But if you're passionate about it and you really believe that there are enough people out there who could benefit from it and use it and you could sell it to, you just got to keep pushing. And there are no such things as baby steps, because you never know who's going to see it and go. I mean, so Yowza, right? This idea that I've had for 8 months. And I love the iPhone. I love the iTouch. I love the applications that are out there. A lot of them are, you know, I don't think they're really that useful, because there's you know, thousands of them, I think. But there's so many that are useful, and I use it for so much of my life now. I can't live without it. So I came up with an idea that why can't you, you know, I created Yowza. Yowza is an iPhone application on your phone. You're going to dinner. You're going to the mall. Wherever you're going to spend money, when you get to the mall, press Yowza on your phone. It immediately uses the built-in GPS system, and all these offers come up on your phone within walking distance of where you are. the retailers that are on the list can set it so that their coupon could be within a mile, 5 miles, 10 miles, whatever they want. So they set it. But let's say it's that mall, and now you can save money. So you go to a bookstore and you buy a book and you press the thing, and a barcode comes up on your phone. They scan it at the register, and you save 20%. So it's mobile couponing in your pocket. Now I was on Twitter. I got a Twitter message from a guy named August Trometer, or actually Rick Yeager is the one who found me and said, look, I love what you're doing with the band. I want to create an iPhone application for you, or a friend of mine wants to create an iPhone application for you. He's done other applications. I want to create an application for the band so that people can press one button on their phone and they can donate to the charities. And I thought, wow, what a great guy. These guys are not looking to make any money. Their hearts are in the right place. So we started talking about it, and I started iChatting with them. In that conversation, I said, you know, I've had this idea for a while, you know, Yowza. I mean, it wasn't called Yowza at that time. It's just, you know, an idea to do a mobile couponing on the phone. And these guys, I mean, August almost fell out of his chair. He was like, that is incredible, and he's a genius. And so he's created, it's so easy to use. It's a free app. It's going to be launching in about 3 weeks, and that's why I'm talking about it like crazy. We're signing up incredible retailers, national, local, boutique. They all want to be a part of it. It's incredibly reasonable for them. And we set up this website, which is getyowza.com. And before I knew it, it's taken off. But my point to you is that, you know, that little conversation that I had on Twitter, I could have ignored it. But you know, no matter where you are, you never know what's going to spark something else. So if you have a little idea, you show it to somebody. Mm-hmm. And then the other bit of advice that I would give you is, if you want to write a script or you have some sort of a creative idea to write a song or come up with a product or whatever, don't talk about it. Do it. JJ taught me that. Right. JJ taught me that a long time ago. It doesn't sound like you need that advice, but this is for people that are listening. The energy that you expend, that excitement that you have inside of you, that's the energy that it takes to make it, to make the product, to write the song, to write the script. So if you tell too many people, you really get that satisfaction, and you get these people going, that's a great idea, you should really do that. And then all of a sudden,
well,
it's not that important.
Basically, you run out of juice before you can get started, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, JJ will all of a sudden hand me a script. I'm like, what is this? He's like, oh, I had a crazy idea, so I wrote a script. I'm like, you just wrote it? He's like, yeah. And that's his work ethic. He gets his ideas out by just doing them. And that's what I've done with Yowza. I mean, this has been like, I don't know, 4 months in the making, and I'm actually prematurely talking about it now, but I'm getting people excited and, you know, getting the buzz going. So I don't mind doing it.
Well, as long as you keep it within 140 characters, eh?
Exactly. That's funny. Exactly. Oh, my God.
Well, thanks for taking my call, then, and good luck with everything.
Thank you. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Okay, everything you're doing.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's really cool. I'm glad that we got that out there so now everybody's really pumped about this Yowza thing. So Barb explained a little bit of it to me earlier, and I think it's a great idea, and I hope that it's something that we'll be able to expand into – other things besides the iPhone, you know,
it'll go into different
cell phone services and stuff like that.
Yeah, we've already been working on, you know, the future of it, but there are there's like 20 to 30 million iPhone and iTouch users out there, so there's a huge market for it, and it's a free application, so we're getting, you know, I don't know why a retailer wouldn't sign up. We're charging them less than they pay for light bulbs in their store,
right?
To be able to have these offers or coupons or announcements. There's a big bookstore chain that we're signing up, and they just want to be able to say, so you're in the mall, you press Yowza, and it says, now doing a book signing, you know, Henry Winkler is signing his books, you know, or whatever.
Right.
So it's just an out way that you can advertise, or you can put offers or whatever on the phone, because quite frankly, my wife has clipped coupons and then she leaves them at home. You know, so.
I do it all the time. I know.
Yeah.
All the time. Unfortunately, I don't have an iPhone. But it's going to be used for on the iTouch iPod also, isn't it?
It is. We have a feature on it. August is such a genius. He created this wallet, digital wallet, so that you, when you go onto our website, you can drag the coupons that you like. You find your area that you're going to go to, and you can drag the coupons into your digital wallet. So now it's on your iTouch. You take it to the mall and you open it up just like you would have if you used the GPS. So it's the same
thing.
Right. Yeah, it's one more step, but it's the same thing. And Yowza, GetYowza.com will be, hopefully, it's going to be a place where people can shop online, too, and know that they're getting the savings that the stores are offering. So you'd start there the way you start Amazon.com. You'll start at GetYowza, and then all the stores will be listed, and you can go to those stores online, too. So you can shop through GetYowza at home.
Right, right. Well, that's perfect. It sounds fantastic. I don't have an iPhone. I have a BlackBerry, but I would definitely do the iPod thing. That's great.
It'll be BlackBerry available soon,
All right, cool. That'd be cool, Greg. All right,
let's talk
about the band from TV. You have an event coming up this weekend.
Yes, this weekend. It's crazy. I started this band because I love to play the drums, and I have a charity. You know, epilepsy is my charity. Our oldest son, Jake, has epilepsy, and we've been dealing with it, and epilepsy is an absolutely terrible neurological disorder. It's, you know, seizure disorder, and he got really bad. He had brain surgery this year in Chicago. We took him to Chicago, and Dr. Smith at Rush Medical Center and Dr. Byrne basically saved my son's life. I mean, he wasn't, thank God, dying, but the shape he was in, he was having, almost in status, he was having nonstop seizures, and there's a really wide scope of there are people that are manageable. You take your medicine and you won't have seizures and you're fine and you're seizure free. And then there's people that unfortunately it's just terrible. They have seizures all the time, or they fall down, they hurt themselves, whatever. So I'm out there just screaming that we need to talk about this and we need to find a cure. There are a couple of organizations that are incredibly important. One of it is called Cure. That's Susan Axelrod. Susan and David Axelrod, their daughter, has epilepsy and has had trouble with seizures for a long, long time in her life. And that is an incredible resource to go to, as well as the Epilepsy Foundation of America, of course, which is a group that I work with. And it's just people need to – I'm sorry to get on this subject, but you can see how passionate I am.
It's important for
people to talk about epilepsy the way they talk about asthma, the way they talk about – now HIV, the way they talk about cancer. We need to be able to talk about it and remove the stigma, because that's the biggest problem right now. People don't talk about it. And if we remove the stigma, we'll get the funds we need, it'll be acceptable, and we can find a cure. And I'm starting a website called talkaboutit.org. It launches. Mm-hmm. We just did PSAs with 40 of the top celebrities in the world. And that's where I just saw Jennifer Garner today. I just got her. She did PSAs for us, and it's going to be a website called talkaboutit.org. You go there, and you can talk about epilepsy. You can find out resource information. You can right now it's a teaser page, and I'm sort of kind of letting the cat out of the bag as far as it being an epilepsy site, but it's really important that we do that, and all your favorite celebrities will be on there, and you'll learn very simply, don't stick anything in somebody's mouth if they're having a seizure. It's okay to talk about it, you know, that kind of stuff. Anyway, I started the band to raise money. And I found like-minded celebrities like Hugh Laurie and James Denton and Jesse Spencer from House and Terry Hatcher and Adrian Pasdar and Bob Guinea and all these great people. And we started playing music together, and we got offered, you know, to play the club and play this and play this charity event. And we're at a charity event, and a friend of mine sees me that I haven't seen in a long time, and he says, I want to fund a DVD. So now we've got this DVD. We did four live shows. It's a DVD-CD combo. It's on Amazon.com. All of the proceeds the band makes, all of it, goes to the various charities we support. So if people are interested, they can go to bandfromtv.org, bandfromtv.org, or go to Amazon.com and pick up Hoggin' All the Covers, which is our DVD. But we were on Leno. We played the late night,
I watched. I saw it. I did.
Yeah,
I thought they Leno, period. But I watched it, yeah.
What do you think?
I love it. I love it. I think you're hysterical playing the drums. I love how you are so – it is so funny because I said to Barbara, I said, he is so hyper. I said, he is just playing them drums, and he is talking while he's doing it. He is fabulous. I love it.
Yeah, this weekend we are playing NASCAR, big, huge NASCAR event out here in the L.A. area, and it's at the Auto Club Speedway, and – I can't wait. I mean, this is like, this band has become such a dream. It's like going to rock and roll fantasy camp. We have this company called ExpressJet is shuttling us and flying us around the country because they love what we're doing. We've got this album out. Now we've been playing NASCAR for maybe 10,000 people on Sunday morning. I mean, it's just, it's a dream come true. And again, all these charities, forgetting the money, they get attention. People are talking about the charities. I'm here talking about it through music, through something cool. Epilepsy mm-hmm. is suddenly, you know, now in the same sentence, in the same breath with music. And it just, it shows an acceptance and an urgency that we need to help all these charities, you know, and especially now people are cutting back on their charitable giving. So if something mm-hmm. like the band, it's a good model for people enjoying themselves and doing good.
Yeah. Yeah. And now tell me and everybody else about the epilepsy walk that you're going to do at the National Mall in D.C. That's coming up soon also.
It is. That's coming up March 28th on the Mall in D.C. It's beautiful. That's when the cherry blossoms open up, the trees open up. I'm the chair of the event. If anybody's interested in that, which I really please help the cause. You know, you can donate $2. You can sponsor mm-hmm. our team. If you're in the D.C. area, please come out that morning. It's beautiful that morning, and we get, you know, upwards of 10,000 to 15,000 people that come out. There's
right.
a band, and I'll be speaking. We have all these NFL players that come out and support it. And it's the Walk for Epilepsy. So walkforepilepsy.org is where you can go and join our team. My son's name is Jake, and our team is the Crazy Brainwaves.
Mm-hmm. We have it in the chat room right now.
Oh,
we put
good,
the links
good, good.
Up. People are asking how they can make donations. So Barb is filling them in, that they can go to
you.
That website and your MySpace page, and we're putting up all the links. So
cool, yeah.
You're definitely going to have some people.
Okay, and then all this, everything that I'm doing, and again, I kind of apologize for having so many things that I'm doing, but I'm just crazy. If people go to greggrunberg.com, everything's on there. I really urge people to go there because it's, the MySpace is great. There's this woman, Barb, who does the MySpace. She's the best.
Right, Barb, yeah. She's in the chat room now.
Yeah, she's the greatest. But
mm-hmm.
But greggrunberg.com, I always put up fun stuff there, and I work with this guy, Joe and Karen, and they do the website, and I'm really proud of it. So go check it out. There are videos on there and all this stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, your website is fabulous. I love the website.
I
went on it the other day, and I love the kind of bedrockish theme to it. I do like that. That kind of suits you. I think it's pretty cool.
Thanks. Yeah, it's cool. We worked hard on that, so thank you.
Okay, so the next thing I wanted to bring up is just dipping back into heroes for a second. I found this on your website, actually. Marvel Superhero Squad to Hero Up with Cartoon Network. What's that about?
Yeah. That was I've been doing some voiceovers. I love doing voiceovers, and this was something that's going to be on the Cartoon Network, and there's all the information is on my website, but it's really cool. They brought in a lot of voices, a lot of classic actors. I didn't, you know, I was so bummed. Adrian did it, and I found out about it, and then they asked me to do it because we're on Heroes. And they had already done this sort of radio show version of it where they had the studio filled with all these actors. Each had a microphone, and they did it like a radio play, which
uh-huh.
you never do. Voiceover,
right,
usually
right.
sitting alone in your response. And I came on after that, so I didn't get to actually work with all those great actors. But I went in and had such a blast. They're really creative people, and I had done American Dad and Family Guy, just some small parts on that, and Robot Chicken. And so I'm slowly getting into it. I will never turn down a voiceover job. Like if somebody calls me and says, "Hey, you know, you want to do this thing? It's tiny." I don't care, because one thing leads to another, and my kids love animation, and so do I. So
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to break into that, and I love doing it.
What character are you going to be doing?
What's the name of my character? I think he's the ant. He's like the tiny guy who thinks he's, you know, big. He's got all the answers. He's like a, you know, he's a scientist, and he comes in and he knows all the answers. And don't worry, don't worry. Show me the paperwork. Yeah, he's like that kind of guy. He's like really super cocky. But he's tiny. He's absolutely the smallest guy in the room, which is great.
Aw, that's so cute. My nephew actually loves Heroes, and he's 8 years old. And my son is 8 years old also, and when I told him you were going to be on the show, he was like, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of him, because I told him about the superhero thing, and he was saying this about you, how he was so proud of you that you're getting to do Cartoon Network.
Oh, that's so cool. I love
him.
He's so proud of me.
He's like, I am so proud of him. I was like, yes.
That is
great. Oh, that's really cool. Okay, we just have a couple more questions from the listeners.
Cool.
Let's see here. We're going to go to area code 904. This is Georgette.
Hello.
Hey, Georgette.
Hi, I am a huge fan since the Felicity days. Oh, my God.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I've always wanted to meet you, and I love Bob. I call him Bob because it's a long story, but that's what I call him.
Ba-Bob.
And I know, and your personality is just as funky and hyper as his is. I love
to
meet you guys together.
That's funny.
I know, I saw you on Leno. You guys did great. Like Joanne said, you were just hyper and going at it, those drums.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
Oh my goodness.
Well, when Jay says making their television debut, we had played American Idol, and that was like, you know, that was exciting. But this was like, it was insane. I mean, I grew up on that show. Some of the greatest acts ever, musical acts, have played that show throughout the years. And for him to say, you know, ladies and gentlemen, banned from TV, I was like, oh, my God, are we really doing this? The curtain goes up, and I couldn't stop singing and laughing and playing. It was just great. Oh, it was great.
So you do talk to everyone from Felicity still?
I try to. You know, we don't all live in the same city, but through email and through, you know, on the phone and stuff, I do. But I get together with, who, you know, as many of them as I can. I mean, I definitely talk to Mandy. I talk to Robbie. I talk to Speedy all the time. Foley. Yeah, I mean, most of them. Ian Gomez, I just ran into the other day. He's just the greatest. So.
Oh, I love him. I miss
him
so bad.
I know, me too. Me too.
I can't wait. They should have, like, a reunion. Like, you know how they left and then, like, 90210 did? And then they came back and they did their reunion. They should do that. Because Felicity and Dawson's Creek were my favorite shows ever. And, like, they've tried to remake them and have shows just like them, but they can't. There's no way. You can't remake them.
No, you can't. I know. It's true. Although, you know, Gossip Girl, those shows are pretty good now.
They are, but they're not like they were back in the day.
That's true. The network is sort of finding its identity, and they took a chance on, you know, I mean, it's also the writing. I mean, JJ was just, he's just such a genius. He's such a great writer, so we were lucky.
He really is, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool.
That's cool. Thanks for taking the call. I really adore you, and I hope to meet you one day.
Oh, no problem. You know, I'm setting up, if I could talk about this just for a second, I'm setting
talk
up.
Talk about it, whatever you want there, Greg. This is your show.
Oh, no. Thanks to you, I get a little airtime. there's a website called Humanity, and I'm setting up a chat for charity where I'm going to get, someone's going to, we're going to auction off a half hour iChat, video iChat with me for charity, and that's going to be coming soon. It'll be announced. They're going to do some banners all over the internet, and then also on at gregrumberg.com at my website. So I hope, you know, people can hope we can raise some good money for that, and then if it works, if we raise enough money and we do, and you know, I'm not talking about a gajillion dollars, but just if there's enough interest in it, then I want to try and do it with the band too, where the whole band will be sitting there and people can actually, you know, maybe watch us rehearse, and then we sit down and answer some questions one-on-one, which would be great. So it's look for that. It's going to be a chat for charity through Humanity.
Very cool. That's an awesome idea.
Yeah.
Go sign up at Greg's website, too, for the email updates, everybody. I did that today, so you go do it, too.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
So go sign up, Georgette.
I already told Bob that he needs to come to Florida with a band from TV because I live in Florida and I can't travel all the way far all the time because traveling.
Well, we're trying to put together a show in Miami, so we'll let you know. If you check on the website, thebandfromtv.org, that they have, we have listings of all that stuff. And as soon as we lock in the show in Miami, we'll put it up there.
I'll definitely be there if you go to Miami.
Awesome. And go get Yowza. Save some money. Sign up. Put your email address in there.
Absolutely.
I will.
Of course, Georgette.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, that's cool. You know, anything that you're doing that you want to talk about, spit it out. I mean, this is your forum. I have absolutely no issue with it.
Cool.
There's no limitations here. There's no FCC regulations. So go for it. I got no problem with that.
Awesome. Well, you're letting me do it. I don't, you know, more than this, I'm going to talk about the rash on my leg. I mean, I'm getting everything out here.
Well, let me say, I'm a mom. I could probably help you with that one, too.
There you go.
Let me stop with that one. My son's laughing at me now. Okay, let's go over here to area code 417. What is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Wolf, and I'm calling from Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, say hi to Greg.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing real great. Real good, Greg. It's cool to talk to you, man, because I'm like a huge Heroes fan.
Oh, very cool. Thank you.
Huge. I thought it was kind of messed up they killed Daphne, though.
Yeah.
But I know, you know, that kind of storyline, you know, you can fix it and all that, but still, kind of a bummer.
I know.
I hate seeing Matt getting the short end of the stick, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting, though. I have to say, she was the greatest. She is, you know, obviously I'm still very good friends
right.
with Rhea. But she's not quite gone yet. You'll be really happy with what they're doing with her. But
that's
still,
cool.
she's just wonderful, and what a great character for the show. And she's, you know, what happens is these characters, these actors come on, and they're not series regulars, and they pop, you know, they're great actors like Bria,
right.
And they get gobbled up by another show, and right now it's pilot season, so she'll, trust me, you'll see her on I think, one of your favorite shows out there for sure.
Well, I hope I see a lot more Heroes, man, because it's such a cool show. It reminds me, I've always been a comic book fan, and it reminds me, I used to read this Marvel comic book when I was a kid called Displaced Paranormal 7, DP7.
Wow.
And
I don't know that, yeah.
It reminds me, it was back when they did the New Universe thing, and they were trying
yeah.
to go different directions, but the show always reminded me of that, and I always liked that. And I want to say, I haven't heard a band from TV yet, but I'm a musician myself. I'm a lyricist.
Oh, cool.
So I want to check you guys out.
Yeah, you know, we have a whole video section at Band from TV, and you can see all the performances. Some of them are, you know, the quality is not amazing, but you can see all the performances. And then we also have, I put up on there, I found old tape on all the actors, like the worst skeletons in their closet performances when we were all like teenagers or whatever, and we called the audition tapes, and they're up there, and it's really funny. Oh, by the way, this reminds me, on my website, on greggrunberg.com, I just put up, we just created a page. People are sending me artwork, and it's awesome. Like, even from little kids sketching Matt Parkman to, you know, someone who doodles on their computer to someone who's done it, and we're creating this gallery, and it's so, some of them are really funny.
Oh, that's
but
awesome.
If you wanna,
I'll have to send something in, man.
yeah, please do. It's just awesome. I love it. I love it.
Aren't you having people do, celebrities do artwork to auction off as well for the Epilepsy Foundation?
Yeah, a while ago I did a thing called Hollywood Helping Hands, and we did finger painting. And then Gibson
mm-hmm.
Guitars donated 50 electric guitars to me, flat white guitars, and I sent them out to all of these incredible, from Mick Fleetwood to Pete Townsend to Sting to, I mean, you can imagine, mm-hmm. everybody. And I don't know these guys. I had to, you know, get to know through their publicist or friend of a friend of a friend. And Michael Vartan's mom, by the way, she was instrumental in that. She's wonderful, and she went to all her concerts
oh, okay.
in the music world.
Well, I just wanted
but
to
anyway.
Let you know, I love the show, and I love the character.
Thanks,
and give Hayden a big hug for me, too.
I will. I'll tell her it's from you.
All right, dude.
Bye. Bye, man. Take care.
Thanks, Wolf. That's funny. But, yeah, I saw that. That was pretty cool that you got them to do that. And I think the way that you go about doing the charity work and raising the money is pretty unique. And your personality just kind of brings people in and makes people want to do it. Even though, like you said, people are really not donating as much because of the economy or whatever. They're cutting back on stuff like that. But you know what? That's not really something that needs cutbacks. I mean, we have enough cutbacks.
Right.
In life,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You can go dig in your couch and find a dollar, turn it into a money order or whatever, write it, you know what I'm saying? So there's always a way to do
it. Absolutely. It's and for the stuff that I try and do, I just try and make it fun for everybody, like this, make it fun for the celebrities that paint something or come up on stage and sing with us. And, you know, we have guest stars come up and sing with us. Carl Edwards is some kind of letting the cat out of the bag here, but we just decided today for the Carl Edwards is one of the greatest NASCAR drivers. He's the guy that does the backflip off his car when he wins. And he's so great, and he loves what the band's doing. We're coaxing him into getting up with us, and he plays guitar and singing a song with us at NASCAR. And in turn, he's like already said, he wants to put together this huge concert with all his sponsors and everything for charity. And I mean, it's infectious. It's like it's a and my point is that we have fun doing it. It's value because people are getting entertainment and they don't even realize it. They buy a ticket to a concert and they see, you know, when we launch Talk About It, which is going to be soon, we're planning a huge concert in L.A. called Talk About It in Concert. And my partner, Ken Loewenberg, at the foundation, and Eric Hargis, they were working hand in hand to create, to really change the perception, like I said before, you know, of epilepsy and hopefully find a cure as quickly as possible.
Right. Yeah, that's just one of those things that, I mean, I only have known one person with epilepsy in my life, and I know that as a young child, she went through a lot, you know, so, I mean, and it was something that really wasn't talked about, and it was kind of shunned, and, you know, just like people say cancer is the C word, or, you know, stuff like that, and then it became like this big thing, and a lot of people don't really take part in it unless they know somebody that it affects. And I'll be one of those. I can be one of those people. I self-admittedly, it wasn't until I was diagnosed with cancer that I actually started paying attention to what happens. You know,
well,
once you're
between 3 and 5 million Americans have epilepsy. 3 to 5 million, and then there's, you know, obviously exponentially more around the world. And so you take those 3 to 5 million and let's say 4 million people, they have at least 10 people around them, each one of them that is affected by this and then deal with it and care about them. So, I mean, come on, it's 40 million people in this country. It's something that that is out there. We need to talk about it because there's these myths that come along, like, you know, stick something in their mouth to hold their tongue. Mm-hmm. They're going to choke on their tongue. It's impossible. Don't ever, ever do that. Put them on their side. Make sure their head isn't smacking the floor. Know that they will ride it out. They'll be fine.
Right.
They will be fine. Look, if they're not fine in 2 minutes, 3 minutes, call the paramedics or call them right away so you feel better.
Right.
But don't stick something in their mouth. Don't freak out. Don't back away. Help them. Be logical about it. You know, make sure nothing's going to fall on them. Make sure they're not going to hurt themselves. They will wake up and thank you. I promise you. And then know that, okay, I saw it. It's not scary anymore. But if that person that has it, and I understand, you know, not talking about it with coworkers because it's scary, but if you just let people know, then if it does happen, and hopefully it doesn't, but if it does happen, that people aren't, you know, too afraid to help you.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you know that epilepsy actually affects animals also?
Oh, of course, yeah. I've heard many stories about people that have dogs.
We had a dog growing up that had epilepsy. We had a little toy poodle. And she used to have these seizures, and you know, of course, she used to ride them out and stuff like that, and we used to give her phenobarbital and whatever, and it was just, I never knew that can happen, you know. So, I mean, there's just so much stuff out there that people have to become aware of, and like I said, you have a way of doing it, you know. You have a format.
Yeah, I have, and I'm using that platform, you know, whatever celebrity I have to help the people that don't have, they don't have a face to this, and I'm their face.
Right.
I'm not going to stop. I'm really not going to stop. We're very, very, very lucky that David Axelrod, who is right, you know, Obama, President Obama's right hand man, he is, you know, he and his wife Susan, they have the Cure Foundation, and people need to go to that website and learn more. But talkaboutit.org is going to be a place where you can start. Learn about it. People that have epilepsy can exchange ideas. It's going to be like a MySpace of people that have epilepsy. There'll be a division of a section of that. But more than anything, it's going to be a wealth of resource information and a place where all your favorite celebrities are talking about epilepsy and where you can learn about it.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you right now, you have the format, you have the platform, you have the face, and there couldn't be a better looking face to talk about it.
Thank you.
I don't mind looking at your face. I'm not ashamed to say it. Okay,
well, you know
I'm going to
say. I'll tell you, I'm proud of you. Just like your son's proud of me, I'm proud of you for liking my face.
Well, I'm glad somebody's proud of me, God. Damn it, you know. That's all right. I'm going to take one more quick phone call here. Area code 210, what's your name and where are you calling from? Hello? Hello, 210.
Hello.
Don't be shy, because I'll have to bump you. Okay, last going once, going twice, 210. All right, you're a done deal, pal. Stick a fork in you. Okay. Well, listen, that's it. All right, listen, I want you to know that you have an open invitation to come back to the show whenever you have something to talk about, whenever you want to talk. I mean,
thank
it could
you.
Be about the silliest thing on the world and just say, hey, you know what? Tell Joanne to book a show. I want to come on and talk, and it's yours.
Thank you so much.
It's simple
as
that.
I really appreciate it, and I love your show, so this was like a thrill for me to be on, and I will take you up on that. I'll definitely give you a call.
Absolutely.
In the middle of your show, you're going to be like, okay, area code 310, go ahead. And I'll be like, hey, Joanna, it's Craig. How you doing?
Listen to me. Okay, let me bring this over to another place then, because I'm on Twitter, and I'm following you on Twitter, so you better go follow me on Twitter now.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
I will. What's your Twitter?
It's under Stardish Radio.
Stardish, so at Stardish Radio.
Right. I haven't quite figured the whole thing out yet, but I'm on there. Barb got me on there, and she's got me started, and I started following you. So, yeah, you definitely get on there and follow me, and I expect that to happen. I do have the occasional celebrity call in the middle of a show. So I'm expecting Greg Grunberg to call in one day when I got, maybe Brandon Barash on from General Hospital and be like, hey, this is Greg. Hey, Brandon, what's going on? I want that.
Okay, you got it. I would follow you anywhere, and I will. I will follow you on Twitter. You're following at Greg Grunberg. I'm following at Stardust Radio. You got it.
You got
it. I promise.
Okay. Before I let you go, I have to ask you a huge favor.
Yeah.
What I need you to do real quick is say hello to Bobby Breyer. Just say hello, Bobby Breyer. Bobby Breyer is a very dear friend of mine that was dying to listen to your show tonight, but he actually got tickets to go see Kathy Griffin, so he picked Kathy Griffin. So you have to say hello to Bobby Breyer.
I will. Bobby Breyer, it's Greg Grunberg. The love I have for you goes beyond the D-list, okay? Kathy is a friend of mine. She's the funniest person on the planet. I don't blame you for going to see her. I went to see her at the Kodak Theater. Did you get to go backstage and hug her? No. But that's okay. I'm sure you had a great time. And this is me saying hello to you.
Perfect. Last thing I need from you is a promo for my show.
You got it.
Hey, I'm recording, so whenever you're ready, just say what you want to say. As long as it's British Radio and your name is in it.
Okay. Hey, it's Greg Grunberg from Heroes. I know what you're thinking. Well, that's my phone. Wait, well, let's do it now. Hey, it's Greg Grunberg from Heroes. I know what you're thinking. Yes, I and you. Hey, it's Greg Grunberg from Heroes, and I know what you're thinking. Stardust Radio couldn't be better. It could be if I was on the show every single day. But yes, I, like you, love this show. You're listening. You're calling in. You're blogging in. You're on the computer. It's Stardust Radio.
Gosh darn it, Greg Grunberg. You're my favorite.
Thank you.
All right, sweetheart. Well, I just want to say welcome back anytime. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a true, true pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. I'm going to go put my kids to sleep.
Yes, mine's laying in my bed right behind me saying, Ma, Ma, Ma. Yeah, so I'm on my way there, too. All right, have a great night, sweetie.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. All right, thank you. All right, guys, signing off from Stardust Radio. If you want, go download the show. Go check out Greg Grunberg's website. And this will be available on iTunes in the next 30 or 40 minutes. Make sure you go download it. And we will see you back here on Monday when I come back with an update from the Variety Kids Telethon here in Buffalo, New York, with Brandon Barash. So till then, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. This is Ignacio Riccio on Stardust Radio. Stay tuned. And now we got to do the Spanish version. Wait, how do you say it in Spanish? Okay, gotcha. I'm just kidding. Para toda mi gente latina, hispana, esto es Stardust Radio. Acá Ignacio Riccio les mando un abrazo. Cuídense. Que Dios los bendiga. Chao.
Hi, this is Eileen Christian, and you're listening to Stardust Radio. So tune in.